follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. I'm Randy Rolfe, your host, and we have an exciting show today. I'm excited to announce that we had almost 6,000 listeners to our first month on Family First, and we have a lot of great topics, everything that affects families. Today we're going to be talking about why kids need the creative arts. And every day we hear about cuts being made to school budgets around the nation, and it seems the first thing to go is the creative arts along with some of the sports. The painting, the drawing, drama, dance, art classes, where often kids have the most fun and get to express their pent-up creativity. What can parents do to keep the creative arts in their children's lives? On this show, we'll be speaking to Kimberly Rayevsky, a talented artist who's worked closely with her husband, Robert Rayevsky, to create wonderful illustrations for a number of popular children's books, including Pirate Pup, Under New York, The Sleepy Men, Small Vampires, Picus the Thief, and many more. She's written the text for a wonderful book called Antonyms, Synonyms, and Homonyms, which Robert illustrated and which should be in every school library because it makes a tough subject so much fun. With her own children, Kim encouraged them and didn't worry about how they would make a living later on. I'm excited to have Kim share her insights with us, and I want to tell you a little more about her background. She was born in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, and she attended the Shipley School, a private school for girls. She graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in 1977 with a Bachelor's of Arts in International Relations. She completed courses in computer programming and became a systems analyst. That was early on in this amazing new field. She now enjoys designing websites. She lives in Clarksville, New York, on 10 acres in the Catskills, owning and operating the Rolling River Cafe, Gallery, and Inn with her husband, Rob. They began the business 3 years ago, and it's already a thriving enterprise. After becoming inspired by small tapa cafes in Europe and South America, they strive to buy local and use organic produce. They're now growing it. Kim manages the inn, and Rob is the chef and arranges rotating art exhibitions in the gallery. He's an accomplished children's book illustrator, and Kim used her computer skills to help Rob digitize his art for the last couple of books. They're passionate about food and art. They're three children, five cats, two dogs, 16 chickens. I just heard it was 20. And they love working together to develop an organic farm as well. And I'm very proud to say I'm her sister. So we're really going to have some fun today talking about why kids need the creative arts. So welcome, Kimberly.
Yes, hi, Randy. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. This is an honor. I want to start out by asking you, how did you first get excited, if you can remember those early years, about artistic expression?
Well, as a small child, I had some freedom because my parents also were very artistic, amateur artists as well, and they loved to do everything with their hands, between gardening and doing oil painting, carpentry. And so I was just naturally exposed to it as a very small little girl, and I would be spending the time in my father's workshop watching him make amazing pieces of furniture. as well as drawing. So I guess it was just a natural thing for me to feel that that was an important part of my life.
Oh, yeah, that was wonderful. We were surrounded by really creative people. And our school, too, had a really good art program. What's your opinion on all these budget cuts that the school seemed to cut out, the most creative parts of schooling?
Well, I personally think it's a terrible thing. This is the part that the children get the most inspired about in school. Actually, in my personal experience, that was my favorite time was my art classes because I could express myself. The other curriculum was just things that you had to learn and memorize, but this is where you could actually put out your own ideas liberally. So I think it's a very detrimental thing to be removing arts, music, and different kinds of programs where children can express themselves.
Yeah, I think it's very sad. So let's outline some of the benefits that you see from having kids explore their world through their own creativity.
Well, I think they appreciate life so much more. They can adapt to different situations. They feel more self-fulfilled. They wake up in the morning and they have a skill and they're excited about themselves and what they could give to other people. So I think it's a mistake not to promote this feeling in children. And my husband and I are both always felt very strongly about that and let our children just be creative. It was the one thing in our house that we did always was they would put on shows and dress up in amazing costumes and just express themselves.
Oh, that sounds great. So can you give some more examples of how in your own experience raising your children you integrated that encouragement of artistic expression?
Well, at a very early age, I know a lot of parents have their children enrolled in a lot of sports, and we, of course, did have gymnastics as one of the sports, tried to encourage them in that area. But we also had all three children, including our son, take ballet, because we wanted them to appreciate singing and dancing. And we also had them join in the choral music at school, just any kind of artistic form in the school system. And then when we weren't in school or in some of the classes that we had enrolled them, we would take them to the opera, and they were a little squeamish at first. They didn't want to sit there and listen to a long opera, but we would try to make it fun for them and take them out to dinner before and ask them lots of questions afterwards. And eventually they really enjoyed watching ballet, watching opera, that kind of thing, and going to theater. It was wonderful.
That sounds cool. I know I really wanted to sing when I was in high school, and I was doing very well academically, and my mother said, well, that's a waste of time to be in the chorus. And it's one of the few regrets I have about my life, that I didn't get to participate in the chorus. So I think that's wonderful that you encouraged your kids in all those areas and let them discover their real tastes, and we certainly did that with our kids. So I know you've become proficient with website design and also digitizing all the complex artworks that Rob was submitting for his children's book illustrations. How has that art form allowed you to vent your own artistic talents?
That's a fun question, because I was artistic as a child. I did a lot of oil painting and sculpture. I worked in soapstone. And then when I got to college age, I was thinking of going to art school, but it was not a vocation that would be, something my parents thought I would be able to make some career out of. So they suggested that I not go to art school. So I sort of dabbled, of course, in other things, and I got away from my art. So then I always felt like I would like to get back to it, but for years I didn't. And then when I had met Rob, who's a talented children's book illustrator, as also a commercial illustrator, he got me excited again about working with him on the children's books, because we integrated my computer skills, and he thought this would be really fun to coordinate. And so it was just wonderful, because it opened up again, and I had lots of fun. And when you work in Photoshop, it's like collage. So we use, you know, colors and textures, and it's been really, really wonderful to restart that again.
That's so cool. I've watched your giant computer that you can do all those colors and textures. How do you respond to parents' concerns, like the one you expressed, that our parents said that their children can't really make a living in an artistic field?
Well, art is a difficult field, but actually I'm finding that many different fields are financially troublesome to maintain. So I think it's a mistake not to encourage your child, if they have an artistic bent, to push forward in that direction, because then at least they'll be satisfied with themselves that they explored it and they got to that point where they either succeeded or didn't, and then they make the choice whether they don't want to pursue it anymore. Then they can close the book on that and move on to something else. So I really think, although parents are trying hard to direct their children to be financially secure, it's still, I think it's a mistake to point them in a different direction when that's what they really love to do. So, I really loved art, and as I said before, that was my favorite area. So I'm happy now that I came full circle and I'm able to express myself now, even though I had gotten away from it. So if I were a parent of young children again, I would focus on whatever creative bent they're taking and pursue it with them.
That makes a lot of sense. I think just having, I wanted to emphasize what you said about them being able to choose. If they don't get to pursue something really exciting, it's a lasting that they don't have choice and freedom in their lives. On the other hand, if they do pursue it, then they may find it's tough going, but if they're doing something they love, at least they feel good about themselves. So I think that's so important. I think we're coming up on a break, so I will be back in a moment.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back, and we're having a wonderful conversation with Kimberly Rajewski, a talented artist and a wonderful parent who's encouraged her kids in the artistic endeavors. And she and her husband have produced illustrations for many wonderful books and some commercial magazines as well. So we're talking about why kids need the creative arts, and we were just talking about the different benefits to the children of exploring dance, music, film, putting on shows, costumes, and we've talked something about what it's meant to them to have a choice about what they pursue and be creative and self-fulfilled. I wanted to ask you, Kim, about what's the impact on parents? I think it can be a great joy to watch the kids explore in this way.
Yes, Randy, I think it's fulfilling to see your children happy and thriving and enjoying what they do. And with our children, they all love to perform. They would put on plays for us all the time. And just think it up. It wasn't even our efforts to say, go make a play for us or something like that.
Do you feel that children will appreciate it if their parents encourage their interest in art, even if they don't actually pursue it as a career in adulthood?
Well, it might not be something conscious that they're thinking about in adulthood, although we all tend to go back to our childhood at one point or another and think of what we did. So I think it has an impact, even if you don't pursue artistic skills. If you had those, again, it's those creative alternatives, because I know there's many people who actually try to not allow their children to vent or to go play when they think they should be doing their studies. And when I had my children very small, my son actually really had difficulty with math. It was not something he could tolerate. He couldn't sit for 10 seconds at the dinner table trying to do the sheet of homework. And a lot of times I would work with him for 10 minutes and then I would say, why don't you go play for a while and come back. So we would have to, you know, take 2 hours, but at least you would get through the sheet of paper.
That's brilliant. Yeah, play is so important. Even Albert Einstein said that the most creative ideas come when you take off time and your brain can sort things out. Music and rhythm can be so important to children. And you have a variety of music going on in your cafe, and you also invite different musicians to perform there, and I know it adds to the spinning atmosphere and international flavor. And so what can that do for in a home and with children, just having a variety of music available?
Yes, we had music all the time in our home with the children. We actually thought it was very important for them to be listening to classical music, and not necessarily when they were doing their homework, but it was always playing in the air behind them. And as well as we didn't have them watch television at all. If they were going to watch something, it would be a kind of theater or ballet. So we thought it was important that they just get exposed to the arts at a very early age, when they're not thinking about it, because then it becomes a very natural thing. So music is critical. I think it just soothes them, it excites them, it can, and they all actually love music now. Our one daughter, Claire, is very musical, and she performs, sings, dances. You know, it's a way to express yourself.
That's great, and they've actually done studies that show that having rhythmic music helps the two sides of the brain coordinate better and create more synapses, so that the mind informs the emotions and vice versa, and that can be very important. Like you just for your son to grasp math.
Yes,
more easily.
And also they become more creative in their souls, in a sense, because the music, they listen to the words of music passively, but then it actually helped in their writing, their self-expression. Our one daughter writes lyrics to songs, and our son is actually wonderful at writing pros. So it's something that I think in a passive way they're getting stimulated, and I think it's very, very important. We used to play anything from jungle music to Polynesian music, as my parents did when I was a young child, and to classical and all that. We were really trying to expose them to everything, and modern things, and Beatles, Tom Waits, Rolling Stones, Prince, you know, everything.
And they love the international flavor, the world music, and having jungle music and drums, and as well as the classical and the contemporary American. That's really neat.
Yes, and we always had drums in our house, and when they were listening to music, it would be quite noisy, but they'd pick up the drumsticks and start, you know, playing to the music. And we had guitars, we had piano. We would just try to find any instrument that they liked to have fun with, and that's what they would do at the house.
Yes, I think playing music is so important. I know our son used to pull bowls out of the cabinet in the kitchen and start banging on them with the wooden spoons, and he just absolutely loved it, and he's still very in love with music and taught himself the guitar, and it starts very early if you let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you also, Rob's a fantastic illustrator with his own wonderful style. It's funny and sarcastic and beautiful, and but I think he also brings his artistic... Does he perceive it that way? Is that so?
I think so. It's a natural transition for him in between the two. He still illustrates, but when he's making food, he puts his whole being into it and makes very wonderful, different recipes. He doesn't really follow a recipe book and has never followed a recipe book. It just sort of springs out of him. So he comes up with these fantastic soups and very interesting paninis that he combines a variety of different flavors that you wouldn't think would go together, and there it's an explosion. So he does a great job with that too.
That's very cool. I was recently in Staples buying some supplies, and we have a 4-year-old grandson, so I was looking at the stuff for little kids. Actually hard to find simple watercolors and paintbrushes and paper and crayons, and some of the boys were designed not really to encourage making a mess and having fun cleaning it up are important parts.
Yeah, I think the problem nowadays is with the technology and the computers, that children are a little bit in a hurry to get satisfaction. They have computer programs I actually know of a computer program where you can put makeup on a person's face, and it's interactive, but it's not creative. You're interacting with a computer, but you're not actually doing anything yourself. So I actually had noticed, too, I was looking for certain kinds of materials, and there are just less and less materials for children to use, and interesting materials for children to use to be creative. And it's sad because it is steering away from the old-fashioned paper dolls and cutouts and crayons that children do use. I'm not sure what direction it's going in, but I'm hoping that there would be computer creativity there's actually a plethora of computer programs that are like Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator that are very creative, but difficult to use. So a child can't really do anything with that. So I wish that there was, you know, more art programs. And if a parent doesn't find them in the school their child is in, you know, find out what is a local art school and have an after-school program that they can enroll in so they can get that art course or that music course or both. So at least they're not without that.
Yeah, that's a great idea to just find other resources if everything's too regimented. And another thing is that kids are so easily absorbed into the computer games that are already racked up points instead of actually being creative with some old remnants lying around from sewing. My grandson just loves taking colors and cotton.
Yeah, I think people need to take time. Things have sped up. People's lives are very busy. You feel like you don't have enough time, but when it comes to your children, I think it's really important to take the time to slow down, help them appreciate just having fun and showing what they can do for themselves, because it builds confidence, it builds character, and later on they actually enjoy going to an art museum or sitting down and reading a really good book, because they've learned the skill of taking time to look at something and think about what it means. So it's a really important skill, actually, I think.
That's really a great insight. I wanted to ask you about your wonderful book, Antonyms, Synonyms, and Homonyms, which I love, and you give credit to your school we went to because they did really teach grammar. And then you did such a creative thing with it, and Rob did fabulous, fun illustrations. What gave you the idea to actually go there and write a book about antonyms, synonyms, and homonyms?
Well, at that point, Rob had actually illustrated over 20 books, and we were talking about an idea, what's a good book, and I was telling him that there are just not enough grammar books out there for elementary school children that are fun and that would hold their interest. And when I was a child, I absolutely loved reading, and I loved to be read to. So I thought that this is something that I think people should have in the elementary school libraries, where children can look at the different words and think about the words, because it's important. So to know the difference between hot and cold and think about it visually. So Rob has a great sarcastic and fun fresh brushstroke, and I just did the text, which is very simple but fun, and he brought it to life with the pictures. So in one spread, for instance, he had Gene Kelly singing In the Rain, using some different the antonyms. So I have three different sections to the book so that children can learn the three different aspects of the language, which I think also children are getting away from now. They don't know grammar. They aren't being taught good grammar in school. Unfortunately, I wish that it was better, but it's again partly the technological age where a lot of the things in school are taught on the computers. And I had a big book. It was a composition book, and we studied the book for all the grammar parts of speech. So for me, this book was really important. I just wanted to maybe enlighten elementary school children to these big words.
Yeah, that's really exciting. It makes them curious with those wonderful pictures and composition, creativity, art in the literary world in school, because teachers are overworked and don't feel they have time to correct creative composition, and it's quite a loss. So getting kids to love words and want to read is brilliant, and I love that book.
Thank you.
And I know Rob has many original drawings from his books available to, like, decorate a child's room, and we have some in our home. And I know in my child's home, our parents were so creative, my room was already decorated with their art.
I think it's great. We actually let our children choose the colors for their rooms. We don't encourage them necessarily to do graffiti on the walls, but we have allowed them to have a corner of a wall to draw on. Just we would map out a little section, and that would be their creative corner. Then we would definitely tack up their work on their walls or whatever they felt. Sometimes we'd guide them if we thought that, something was inappropriate, but they were rarely even thinking of anything inappropriate. It would a lot of times be their own work that they would be proud to show to themselves. So I think it's wonderful to have them decorate their own rooms and use their own colors. I know there's children have their own favorite color schemes. And so my one daughter loves yellow and black. So we said we were helping her choose the rugs and the sheets and this kind of thing. And they feel very proud of themselves. So it's great.
Do they redecorate as they get into a different stage of life?
Yes, they do, actually. It's funny. It's sort of a natural thing. They get to a point where they're reaching more mature level, and they say, okay, I'm tired of this color. What color should I do? And they were coming to us for advice. Do you think I should go paint it white now? So it's really fun to see them change as they get older.
A lot of parents would be delighted if their children ask them advice about anything. That's very cool.
Well, we always encourage them to talk to us, and we're actually all Facebook friends. We enjoy sharing information with each other now on Facebook and through emails, because my children are 26, 23, and 21, so they're out of the house, but they still come home and stay with us for a while, and so we're all sharing what we've learned in life, which is great.
Yes, that's very cool. Another break, Kim. Hope the listeners will come back for the rest of our show.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
When you were young, did you feel free to daydream? Were you full of questions such as why, how, and what if? Did you allow yourself to be carefree, to dance and sing? Did you create just for fun? Want to feel that way again? Reclaim your natural curiosity and creativity with Dr. Carol Stalka on Stargazing Stories, Sparking Your Creativity. Revitalize your life, work, and relationships. Be more playful, be bold, imagine, explore, and live more creatively every day. Tune in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome again. We're speaking with Kimberly Rajewski, accomplished artist, and has done a lot of book illustrating with her husband, and also has a very creative life in all ways. And we're talking about how art can be such an important part of our children's lives, even if they're not getting it in school with all these budget cuts. And we wanted to talk more about what advice you would give to parents who want to encourage their children's artistic interests but find no time between their own work and the child's homework and their sports activities. You mentioned how important it is, but can you give some more examples of ways of having art be an everyday part of the family's life?
Well, I experienced that time pressure when we were raising our children because we were both working on children's books, which we tried to capitalize on when they were at school, because the minute they came home from school, it was really difficult to work because you can't draw and write at the same time when your children are bubbling about what happened at school, and then you have to run them to the different events and after-school programs. So it always was a challenge to get them and us to slow down a little bit and take some time for them to follow their interests. But what you have to do is carve out the time. And so what we did with the children when they came home from school, we would let them have their afternoon snack. And during that time when they were having the snack, we would discuss exactly all the interests and things that they wanted to do in the rest of the day. You know, try to just take quality time for half an hour and get them to connect. And then we would run them off to their activities. And afterwards, again, it was near the dinner hour when we would have them do their homework before dinner. And then we would have dinner. And then after dinner was our time together. And we would do things together. We would draw together. We would read together. We would just slow down and just focus on them, because we knew that this is only a temporary thing when you're raising your children. They won't be with you forever. So it's just really important to take that time out to express your feelings for what they're doing. And then they connect. They don't feel that, oh, my parents don't understand me feeling that a lot of children have. I mean, they did go through a phase at one point, all of them, where they were trying to grow up and be more mature and say, okay, I don't need my parents to tell me what to do, or I don't need their input. But once they got through that period, they actually all appreciated what we had done.
I'm sure, yes. I think that's so true. It's really so much about just having quantity time. And we got into this thing in the 80s and 90s, well, just have quality time. But I think to a large extent, it's about hanging out and being there. If they want to say, well, should the ocean be blue or green, you're there to chat about it and smile and appreciate what they're doing. I just think that's so important. And I think as kids get older, you need to, just as you described, at different stages of their childhood, the schedules are going to shift, and you need to be sensitive to that and make the time in and around your own obligations. So that's just awesome. What about when kids, sometimes parents get committed to a child's talents, like they seem to be wonderful musicians, and the child just decides they want to dance instead. What about that kind of transition? How would you advise a parent to let go when they see the child's very talented in one thing, but they want to go try something else?
Well, I wouldn't. If the parent is thinking that the child's really talented in that area, of course they may have a better foresight than the child. So I wouldn't let it go, but I would definitely let them explore this other area a little bit. And we actually did this with our own children. We made sure that they each had a musical instrument that they were playing. And so our children started on piano, because I think that's probably the most easy instrument to start with. And then each of them gravitated away. One wanted to play saxophone. Another one wanted to play guitar. And they all started to leave piano, but once in a while I saw them going back to the piano and playing a tune. So it was still learning experience. Of course, Claire wanted to sing, so we had her take singing lessons. So we didn't let go of what we thought was something important in building their character and their lives and their appreciation of the arts. So it's more challenging as a parent to be watching them go in different directions, but it's also important to let them dabble in the different directions instead of just keeping them on one thing, because it's much more difficult for them to stay on task if they're thinking about something else. So.
Right, if they're wishing they're doing something else. I know with our daughter, she was doing a lot of dance, and I wanted her to learn it. She learned keyboard. She went for lessons for a year, and then she said, well, it's fun, but I'd rather put the time into dancing. So we said, okay, fine. And it's if they don't enjoy it, even if they have a skill, they may do much better with a different skill that they can develop because they love it. So yeah,
exactly. And at one point, you know, all three children chose not to do piano, but they came to us and said, no more piano, please. And so we had to make the conscious decision, okay, will they pursue this or not? And they wanted to do other things. So the time, they were actually aware of the time of their day that they were losing because they were sitting in front of the piano, and they wanted to do other things. So they were trying to prioritize their days. And you have to have that freedom of thought to allow them to, and yourself, to go with the flow and say, okay, they're going in a different direction right now, and let's see where that goes. But of course, the despite the emphasis on the arts, I think it's important that they also are learning other skills, and you have to hone those skills in their education as well. So it's important that they learn, you know, really good writing skills, reading skills, and future business skills, like math is very difficult for many children nowadays. The programs are not complete, and they're in a grocery store when they're 20 years old and they don't know how to see what's the cheapest item on the shelf. So I think it's important that they have these skills as well.
Yes, that's a really important point. I've heard recently that more and more kids really don't understand how the banking system works and how to keep a checkbook, whether their debit card, you know, they just read whatever the ATM says as far as what they've got and don't do any math to figure out what's going on. And it can be quite scary because these kids do have to come out and function in the world. But it's important to be able to balance life. I mean, that's an important skill that a lot of people don't have as adults, is how to prioritize their day, how to include all the things they love as well as the things they have to do, and allowing the children to develop their own sense of their priorities and their time expenditures is a skill in itself, I think, that will stand them in good stead the rest of their lives.
Now we also were finding ourselves telling the children to slow down a little. Because they were encouraged in the education process to just learn, and go, and we had them in a lot of programs, after-school programs, so we were always scheduling, and their minds would just be racing by the end of the evening. And so we had a time where we would do book reading together. They would read to us, we would read to them, and it didn't matter what age they were at.
Okay.
Our daughter was 12, 13 years old. Even at the dinner table, we would read articles to each other and discuss them. So it was, we would try to incorporate some kind of discussion about not just arts. It was anything that they chose or that we chose that we thought that they should be exposed to. So I think that helped to inspire them a little bit.
Yes, well, I know you have an amazingly inspiring environment for your kids there in the Catskills, and I know in the cafe, you not only have the music and the wonderful food, but you also have a gallery, and you not only have Rob's art, but also the children's art work on display, and also works by other Catskill and even international artists at your Rolling River Gallery. So how do you attract such a wonderful variety of artistic people? And I think that in itself, the friends of parents can be great inspiration to the children.
Yes, we've found, here in the Catskills, we've discovered there's so much local talent. We didn't have to look very far in that area. Lots of very skilled artists, photographers, sculptors. It's just we have rotating exhibits, and we don't have a need to try to find anyone. But also, we know a lot of illustrators internationally, Rob being Russian, and so we we have an upcoming exhibit soon by a wonderful batik expert, Ksenia Golubkov, and you know, this kind of thing is not difficult to find. So we're very proud also that our daughter Miriam is a skilled photographer as well as a claymation expert. So she has some of her photography in our gallery, and she has a website as well where she's showing the works that she's done. She's made short films with stop motion animation figures, and we always encouraged her as a small child. She loved miniatures, so we were giving her little miniatures all the time, or taking her to an antique shop and letting her pick out a miniature. So she has a large collection of them, but that actually led her to her career today, because what she does is she works with clay and makes small clay figures, and then moves them and takes a picture, moves them and takes a picture, and creates a film using that, like in the Tim Burton Nightmare on it's a Christmas movie. I forget the name right now. But in any case, so we have seen, watching her from develop from a 6, 7, 8-year-old to now she's 26, and that the things she did as a young child evolved to what she's interested in now.
That's so cool. What is her website? Parents that are listening, they could send their children there to get inspired.
Sure. It's exposedstudios.com. It's with an x-posed, P-O-S-E-D, studios.com.
Cool. And with all you do, you and Robert also run a wonderful inn by the river behind your cafe, and it's a great retreat for families. I've been there, and certainly the kids can be in artistically inspired by the beautiful surroundings, the rolling river, and your own creative flower beds and landscaping. So you have that other wonderful artistic skill too, which I think you probably inherited from your mother. but you're pursuing it and sharing it with others, which is wonderful. So I'd love you to tell people how they can learn more about the Rolling River Cafe and Gallery and Inn.
Well, thank you. Well, let me just say, when we were creating the inn, our children were helping us in a creative event. They actually love to get in it and paint the walls and do textured walls. And we created a walkway out of mosaics that the children helped us do also. So they actually were volunteering to help us create a special place in the inn. So that was really fun. And people can learn about it. I guess we have a website called rollingriver.net, and we have pictures of the inn and what we're all about. And I guess they can see pictures of some of the rooms and all, too, where we all collectively worked.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's a great place where a family can get away, or just the parents, too, if they need to. But we're talking about the whole family here. And I just really recommend it for anyone who would like a wonderful weekend escape where you can rediscover your kids and their curiosity and talents. It's a beautiful country environment there. So, and it's just so wonderful that it's such a product of the whole family, and to have the kids really be interested in helping you decorate the grounds and the house and the cafes is really a credit to you as parents and a credit to them to explore their creative talents. So, can you also tell us how people can find the books that Robert's illustrated, and you've helped him with all of that digitizing?
Yes. Well, he can. You can find his books on Amazon, and that's probably the best place because there's they have the Explore the Book feature where you can look inside, and I do highly recommend that website.
Yeah, I went on there, and there were so many books that have his name on them as illustrator, and there's quite a variety. And he has a, like I said, a wonderful, colorful, emotive, and humorous style that really engages the kids in the books. So I really want to thank you again for being a guest and helping us explore how important art is for kids and giving lots of great ideas for making that happen. So thank you so much, Kimberly.
You're welcome. Thank you. That was lots of fun.
Good, good. Thanks again. And next week we're going to be talking about the law and the process of getting special education for your kids. So thank you for listening, and tell us about the show.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.